Why did Jesus come? If we understand who Jesus was, that's a very pertinent question. Jesus is the same one that the Bible tells us created everything. As we look around the world about us today, and as we woke up this morning, saw the beautiful snow out there, and we look up in the sky and see the stars, and then the sun comes up. Jesus created all that. He put it all in place, and He keeps it there by His omnipotent power. You see, Jesus is God. Jesus is the Creator, the Bible tells us. And so why in the world would God leave heaven, where He enjoyed all the worship of creation, all the angelic beings in heaven above, why would He leave heaven in all of that adoration to come to the earth? And especially to come in the manner and the fashion in which He did. After all, He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. So why did He do it? Well, the Bible answers that question for us very simply in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. I'd like just to read that verse and take a few thoughts out of it this evening. Luke 19, 10 simply says, "For the Son of Man," that's talking about Jesus, "the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what the program was all about tonight. Mary having that little lamb, which is the title of the program, incidentally. That Mary had that little lamb came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now there's three things I'd like to look at in this verse. First of all, Jesus simply came to seek. He came to seek. The Bible tells us a few chapters before this, in Luke chapter 15, a parable that Jesus spoke. He spoke about a shepherd who had 100 head of sheep. And as he had the sheep out in the pasture all day, he brought them home. And as they would go into their sheepfold, the way the shepherds in that culture would do it is they would put their shepherd's staff over that door where the sheep would enter the sheepfold. And as each sheep would file under, he would count 1, 2, 3. And he counted 97. 98, 99, and that was the last sheep. He noticed one sheep missing. The other 99 are all there in the sheepfold. They're safe. They'll be secure for the night. They'll be free from any harm or danger from any predators. They'll be able to bed down, relax, take it easy. But there was a sheep missing. And Jesus was telling this parable to tell how He, the shepherd, the great shepherd, is seeking His lost sheep. Now, He could have had many responses. That shepherd, as he counted, 97, 98, 99, there's one missing. He'd look into his sheepfold, and he would kind of see which ones are there. And as I understand it, they had a very close relationship with their livestock. And he would know what little sheep it was that was missing. And he could have had any number of responses. He could have simply thought, "Oh, well, I still have 99. 99 is a pretty good number of sheep for a shepherd like me. I'm content. I'm satisfied. That one, it'll just, someone else will take it into their flock. It'll be all right." He could have taken that, just shrugged his shoulders, and said, "Okay, not a problem." Well, he didn't do that. But he also could have just simply said, "Well, you know, it's been a hard day's work taking the sheep out, climbing the mountain, finding some good pasture, and then about the heat of the day, trying to find some nice water that they could water themselves in. Man, I'm tired. I'm bushed. I'm going to bed. Maybe if I feel like it in the morning, I'll go search that little sheep out. Or maybe when I take the sheep back out, I can go by the same way. Maybe it'll turn out." He could have done that and said, "Well, I'll just wait till tomorrow." But he didn't do that either. The same shepherd could have said, "Well, you know, that little lamb has been trouble ever since it was born. That little lamb is always wandering off, always getting itself in trouble. It serves it right that it's not here now. And I'm just going to free myself of that headache and just let things be." He could have said that, but you know, he didn't. He also could have said, "Well, you know, that little lamb will be all right. We've traveled that path so many times. We've gone out to that pasture so frequently. I'm sure it'll find its own way in. I'm sure it'll recognize the sights along the way. And before long, it'll be here at the gate. I'll just sit back, take it easy, and wait for my sheep to show up. He could have done all that, but you know he didn't. Jesus tells in that parable that those 99 that were secure, he locked them in, and then he went out into the dark cold of the night, the dangers that were there lurking in the darkness and the shadows, and he ventured his life to save and rescue that one lost lamb. You see, Jesus came to seek. He never thinks that I have enough sheep in my sheepfold. He never counts how many Christians there are, how many souls have accepted him as Savior and says, well, I'm content now. You see, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I don't believe God will be fully satisfied until all come to repentance. We know there are many who will continue to refuse his offer of grace. If you're in that situation this evening, I would encourage you, please, don't stay, don't leave in that condition. But take the Lord as your Savior. He's so gracious, he's so kind, he's so merciful, he forgive you for all the sins you've ever committed. If you just simply bow your head and say, Lord, I know you died for me, for my sins. Please save my soul and give me eternal life. He'll do it. He's so gracious, so kind, and boy, he'll give you life anew. Boy, we can make such a mess of our life because we're like that little lost lamb astray and causing problems for ourselves and in our lives. But the Lord says, I'll bring you into safety if you just take me as your Savior. You see, he's never content. He's also never too tired, never too weary to minister to those who need his help, who are longing for home. He's always waiting with open eyes or open arms and attentive eyes for that wandering sheep to wander into the sheepfold. He's searching, he's looking, he's waiting for you tonight. He also never leaves a soul lost to his own way. He never says, well, you can just find your own way to heaven. No, he gave us his holy word, the Bible. He says, if you'll simply do what this book says, you will enter into my sheepfold. You'll be saved forevermore. You'll never have to question, never have to doubt, never have to wonder where you're going to spend an eternity. He gave us the road map. Oftentimes we call it the Romans Road because it comes out of the book of Romans. And it tells us how we can be saved. It starts in chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It moves on from there to chapter 6, verse 23, when it tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we move forward from there to chapter 10, verse 13, when the Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, it's nothing we can do, but it's simply by God's grace, taking him, accepting him, calling on him as our Savior. He never leaves us to our own way, but he's given us the clear roadmap. He's seeking your soul tonight. He's never indifferent towards the wayward soul. He's not willing that any should perish, as I said. He wants you in his kingdom. He wants you in his family. He wants you as his child. We're not that way automatically. We can be born into a Christian family and still spending an eternity in the lake of fire. God doesn't desire that. I'm sure your parents don't desire that. But unfortunately, that happens sometimes. You see, each soul must make that decision themselves. But we see Jesus came to seek. He's seeking your soul tonight if you're lost. He also, secondly, according to that verse, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Seek and to save. There's many important things in this life, in this world, that need addressing. That would be wonderful if we could take care of. Jesus was omnipotent. When he was on the earth, he could have taken care of all these things. He could have taken care of all the social injustice, corrected every one of them for all of time. But he said there's something more important than correcting a social injustice. He could have healed all disease and all sickness. He could have done that if he wanted to. After all, while he was here, look at how many he healed, how many he cured. But you know, he said, I've got more important work than healing sickness and disease. He could have fed the hungry and starving masses in the world. He could have made it so no child went to bed hungry and we wouldn't have to have those infomercials asking for assistance to help feed the hungry children around this globe. But he said, you know, I've got more important work to do. That's not why I've come. He could have educated the uneducated. He could have said that every man, woman, and child on the planet had the best of education, could have achieved to the highest intellectual capabilities to which they've been given. But he said, you know, I've got more important work to do. He could have liberated the oppressed. We've got so many oppressed around this world. We've got two nations full of our soldiers who are risking their lives for no other purpose than to free those who have been oppressed by oppressive regimes. But Jesus said, you know, I've got more important work than that. He could have created a euphoric society in which there'd be no cares, no worries, as the Bible talks about heaven and says there's no sickness, no pain, no tears. He could have done that here on earth. But he said, you know, there's more important work that I've come to do. What is that important work? He's come to seek and he's come to save. You see, there is no more important work on the face of the earth than trying to save a lost soul. You see, if we create all these euphoric type of conditions, cure all sickness and ills in our society, it won't make any difference once we leave this world. We know it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Our life here is temporary. There will come a day when we have to stand before God as our judge. And we'll have to answer whether or not our name is found in that Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't make any difference how pleasant life was here below, how long we lived, how healthy and wealthy we were. That makes no difference when you're standing before Almighty God and He says, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? He says, that is the most important work on the face of the planet. And that's why Calvary Baptist Church and churches all around the world, just like ours, are here. That's our drive. That's our motive. That's why we exist. Because someone shared the good news with us that Jesus saves for all eternity. And we want you to hear that message too. Because that is the most important work in the world. Jesus says, that's why I've come, to seek and to save. The third thing we want to see in this one short verse of why Jesus came is the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. It's not a very complimentary phrase to use of ourselves, is it? We may meet someone on the street, we may have a friend or a family member, and they may be lost. Not a very complimentary thing to go up to a person and say, you know, you're a sinner. They're generally not very happy to hear that, but you know that's good news. It's good news because we must realize our lostness before we'll accept a Savior. If we realize that we're lost, that the sins we've committed, now I'm assuming probably all of us in this room are very good people. Most of us go to church regularly. Most of us do good to our neighbors. We don't break the law. We do everything we can to live a good life. But you know, God says we're still a sinner. We're still a sinner until we're saved by His grace, and then we're still a sinner. Just we're a saved sinner. If you're here tonight and you're not a saved sinner, let me encourage you, do not leave tonight. It's so important. That's what Christmas is all about. You see, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas if Jesus didn't come to seek and to save that which was lost. He would have just been another birth, just another person on this planet who existed in time. But what makes Jesus different from all others is He came to seek and to save that which was lost. How about you tonight? Are you here tonight and you're lost? You don't know when your time comes to die. You don't know where you're going to spend eternity. You know, the Bible tells you that you can know. The Bible tells in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that we can know. Here God tells us, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It ought not be a question mark in your mind. And so if you hear like that tonight and it's a question mark, or you know, and you know it's not heaven, please, while we sing a song of invitation, Stephen's going to come, the organist is going to come, we're going to sing a song. And if God has spoken to your heart through the message of the program that the kids presented, they did a marvelous job. I'm so proud of them. And through the verse that perhaps I share, maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart tonight. You're saying, I would like to know for sure that I'll be in heaven when I leave this planet. we encourage you to just step out of your seat, come and shake my hand and say, "Pastor, I'd like to know for sure." And we'll have someone share with you out of the Word of God, not our opinion, not Baptist doctrine, but what God says. Stephen, why don't you come? And why don't you stand, take your hymnals, he has the song picked out, and join with us in song. And as I said, if God has spoken to your heart tonight, please follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as he tries to draw you unto Christ.